Also I was thinking, Lishon Bechir Yisrach Shagam, and Rabbi Yehuda Masechti Yevam, and Staff Kof Yud Beis. For the next Gemara, instead of forcing him to give her Chalitza, why don't we force him to do Yibam? So Rav said, the case is where she was given a get, and therefore Yibam may no longer be done. In fact, Rabbi Braisa says, if she says during the first 30 days that no Biyah was done, we force him to give Chalitza. The Braisa in her later case then discusses a case where the Yevam would need to receive a get and Chalitza. This means, first case is discussing where a get was not received. If so, why do we force him to do Chalitza and not allow for Yibam? Rami said, the end of the Braisa means that she needs to have Chalitza along with the get she has already received. This would mean that the previous case are also discussing cases where a get was already received. Rashi said, Rav may be referring to a get that was written to dissolve the Zika, whereas the Brice is discussing a get that was written as a divorce after the Bia. Hoyin, the son of Rav Nachman, asked, do we make the Tzara wait to get remarried until the Chalitza in this case is given? Rav Nachman said, just because we require her to get Chalitza based on her claim, that would not make the Tzara usher. The Mishnah said, Hanei deres hano. Zachnimar, Mishnah says, originally the Rabbanan said, if a woman says that she vowed not to have hanah from any man, she has to be divorced. Later they said that the husband may revoke the vow with respect to himself. In fact, tomorrow, would she remain usher to her yavam if her husband revoked the vow with respect to himself? Did she think that she may fall to yibam and therefore the vow encompassed that as well, or did she not? Rav said she's permitted to the yavam, and Shmuel said the yavam is included in the vow like the husband and therefore must have the vow revoked if he is to marry her. Abaye said, our Mishnah seems to say like Rav. Mishnah says that if she vowed during her husband's lifetime, we require him to give chalitza. If Shmuel is right, then that a woman thinks of the possibility of falling to Yibum, then her vow to prevent Yibum should make us request that he give Chalitza, but not force him. Mara says, now the case may be where the woman had children at the time of the vow, in which case she surely did not contemplate falling to Yibum. In fact, Mara, that would mean that if she had no children, we would say that we don't force Chalitza, rather we request Chalitza. If so, the Mishnah should base the differing cases on whether she had children, not on whether she purposely intended for it. Rather, it must be that whether she had children or not, we force him to give Chalitza, and this is a proof to Rav. Hanalach Perek Beis Shammai. Perek Chevish Anosa Perek Abo Osar. Zok the Mishnah B'siyata D'Shmaya, a deaf-mute man who marries a healthy woman, or a healthy man who marries a deaf-mute woman. They may get divorced or remain married. The same way they accept marriage with gesturing, they can also be divorced by doing the same thing as well. If a healthy couple gets married and the woman then becomes a deaf-mute, they can still get divorced if they want. If she becomes a shaita, he cannot divorce her. If he became a deaf-mute or a shaita, he may never divorce her. Rabbi Yechon and Benuri asked, why is it different when the woman becomes a deaf mute than when the man becomes a deaf mute? They say the difference is that a woman can get divorced even against her will, Bakarcha, whereas a man can only divorce if he is willing. Rabbi Yechon and Gudguda testified that a deaf mute who was married off by her father as a minor may be divorced with a get. The Rabbanan said to Rabbi Yechon and Benuri, the case of a woman who was healthy when married and then became a deaf mute is the same as this woman, and therefore she can likewise get a divorce. Mishnah continues, if two deaf mute brothers are married to two deaf mute sisters, or to two healthy sisters, or to two sisters, one of whom is healthy and one who was a deaf mute, or if there are two deaf mute sisters married to two healthy brothers, or to two deaf mute brothers, or to two brothers, one of whom is healthy and one of whom is a deaf mute, all these women as widows would be potter from Chalitza and Yibam. If the women were not sisters, the surviving brother may marry the widow and can then divorce her if he'd like. Next, if two brothers, one of whom is a deaf mute and one who is healthy, and they married two healthy sisters, and the Cheresh died without children, she's potter from Yibam as a wife's sister. If the healthy brother died, then the Cheresh must divorce his wife, and the Yavama remains also to remarry forever. So the next case in the Mishnah, if two healthy brothers are married to two sisters, one of whom is a Chareshes and the other of whom is healthy. If the husband of the Chareshes dies, she's potter from Yibam as a wife's sister. If the husband of the healthy sister dies, he has to divorce his wife and give the Yavama Chalitza. If there are two brothers, one of whom is healthy and one of whom is a Cheresh, who are married to two sisters who are also one and one. If the Cheresh husband of the Chareshes wife dies, she's potter from Yibam as a wife's sister. If the healthy husband of the healthy wife dies, the Cheresh must divorce his wife, and the healthy woman is also to remarry forever. If there are two brothers, one who's healthy and one who's a Cheresh, married to two healthy, unrelated women. If the Cheresh brother were to die, the Yavam can do Yibam or Chalitza. If the healthy brother was to die, the Cheresh would have to do Yibam and could never divorce the Yavam. Next case, if two healthy brothers married unrelated women, one who was healthy and one who was a Chareshes. If the husband of the Chareshes died, the Yavam could do Yibam and then divorce her. If the husband of the healthy woman died, he can do Yibam or Chalitza. If finally, last case, if two brothers, one who was healthy and one who was a Cheresh, married unrelated women, one who was healthy and one who was a Chareshes, if the cheresh husband of the cheresh's wife died, the healthy brother can do yibum and then divorce her. If the healthy brother was the one who died, the cheresh could do yibum and could never divorce her. Rabbi Rachame asks, why is it that Rabbanan allowed marriage for deaf mutes but not for the mentally deranged for shaitas? Gemara says deaf mutes can live normal marriage, whereas a shaita cannot. Why did the Rabbanan not allow a marriage for minors? Gemara says a minor will eventually be able to marry as an adult, so there's no reason to allow it earlier. The Rabbanan allowed marriage for a minor girl, even though she can wait until she becomes an adult. Mara says that's to protect them from immoral people. In fact, Mara, why do they allow miyun for a minor but not for a deaf mute? They're both Rabbanan Dikah marriages. Mara says a deaf mute would never grow out of that right, and that would prevent people from wanting to marry them, whereas a katana one day won't be able to do miyun, so a man is willing to marry her even on the possibility of miyun, because he knows that possibility is short-lived and will eventually come to an end.